Maxwell Perkins is possibly the most famous editor in American history. His stable of writers included Ernest Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald. But those literary giants only play bit parts in the new movie Genius. NPR critic Bob Mondello says the titular genius was Perkins's biggest professional challenge, novelist Thomas Wolfe.
The Roaring Twenties are in full roar when we meet editor Max Perkins, but to look at him, you'd never guess. His nose is perpetually buried in a manuscript, on the street, on a train, in his office awaiting a new writer. As played by Colin Firth, Perkins is not a demonstrative man. Unreadable, you might say. As opposed to Jude Law as unpublished novelist Thomas Wolfe, who at the age of 28 is demonstrative to a fault.
Please, sit down.
I wasn't even gonna come. Prefer to get my rejections in the mail. Something surgically antiseptic about those familiar words. We regret to inform you. You can't kill the deep roots by cutting off a few top branches. And the roots go deep, Mr. Perkins, and they are unassailable.
Mr. Wolfe, we intend to publish your book.
Surprise. But if the guy talks like that, just imagine how he writes. The manuscript he's submitted, which will end up as Look Homeward, Angel, is nearly 100,000 words too long. And Wolfe, not being what you might call disciplined, is not inclined to part with many of them.
Every word matters.
No, it doesn't.
They're vital.
Nonsense.
Vital.
Oh, you're losing the plot.
Filmmakers have a notoriously difficult time capturing a writer's creative process because there's nothing cinematic about an author hunched over a typewriter. An editor's process? Oy. But Genius takes a serious stab at making it kinetic. Perkins at one point reads a passage written by Wolfe, his voice caressing every word. It's about love at first sight, and Firth makes it sound like Shakespeare, a torrent of words, cascading, gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And then he takes out his red pencil.
He's falling in love.
What was it like the first time you fell in love, Tom? Was it cornstalk yellow and pompous Chesterfield?
It was a lightning bolt.
And that's what it should be. A lightning bolt. Save all the thunder.
You can see the light dawn for Wolf.
I got you.
Cut that. Cut that.
All right. We cut the textile. He saw a woman.
Cut.
He's giving it a real go.
But it was her eyes that stopped his breath in his throat that made his heart leap up.
Now, cut the Wordsworth.
It stopped his breath. Blue they
now,
were.
Now, cut the marine
a
line.
Blue beyond blue like the ocean.
Cliche.
A blue beyond blue like...
It's like nothing but blue.
A blue he could swim into forever and never miss... cut this.
And pick up with...
Had there ever been such blue? Had there ever been such eyes?
Don't need the rhetorical.
Why?
It's not a lightning bolt, it's a digression.
A blue beyond blue. No. Her eyes were blue.
Better.
Director Michael Grandage hails from the stage. So does screenwriter John Logan. So where films about writers are often filled with raised eyebrows rather than raised voices, these guys actively encourage grand gestures. Like the characters, they are intoxicated not just by jazz or bootleg liquor, but by words. By the time they're finished with that particular passage, editing in offices and speakeasies and train terminals, they've eliminated hundreds of words. But the remaining 25 are worth shouting above the din of a train pulling out of the station.
Eugene saw a woman. Her eyes were blue. So quickly did he fall for her that no one in the room even heard the sound. Period. End of chapter 4.
Only 98 more to go.
Is it too much? Well, sure. Overdone and showy, Genius is more Tom Wolfe than Max Perkins, you might say. The film has not fared well with critics, possibly because critics are used to being edited and thus are not inclined to think of editors as heroic. Obviously, they've not met my editor. Wonder if she'll cut this part. Guess we'll see. I'm Bob Mondello.